Hey, y'all. It's me, Jess Bubico, and I am excited to be here with you on the Waking Up with Jess podcast. Each week, I'll invite you to wake up to your inner knowingness, get creative, and march to the beat of your own drum in your business and life. We'll dive into different subject areas from business to health to work, relationships, and beyond. On the podcast, we'll get raw, honest, and real, keeping it a little bit personal, a little bit educational, and most importantly, we're going to have a lot of fun. Each episode, you'll feel like you're sitting down at a coffee shop having an intimate conversation with a few of your best friends. Join me each week as I act as your confidant and friend who loves the heck out of you and wants to see you shine. Come along and wake up with a cup of Jess. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the podcast. It is that time of the month, time for the transits with Jenny Crowther. Jenny, hey, welcome back.
Jess, hey, thanks for having me.
I'm excited to be here. We were just talking about the awesome retreat that you led in the UK. And there are more retreats for you to come, aren't there, in the summertime?
I don't know. We'll talk about this on the podcast, but I don't know.
I thought you had one scheduled, but maybe I'm just initiating you into another one.
I've placed everything for this entire eclipse season on pause, hold, no commitments. I'm waiting to see what is left in the smoldering ashes in about 3 weeks' time. We'll see.
Oh my gosh. Well, let's get started then, talking about the smoldering ash that we will be experiencing.
For the record, I love smoldering ashes. They're my favorite kind of ashes. Still warm. I don't know. I don't like to be too, I don't like to catastrophize too much and over-dramatize it. But then part of me, you know, I guess the Gate 51 in me kind of does. Likes to stir things up a bit with a bit of shocking language. There's a lot potentially going on. And for me, it's very, very potent because it's right on, you know, on an axis that I was born on. So, yeah, there's a lot going on in April. But I think it's helpful if we look back at March and kind of assess. I like to do a quality control check on what we said it for March and how we've seen it playing out. So what we talked about when we were talking about March was, you know, the end of the transit that Neptune is currently in Gate 36. And I was talking about these crises, these themes of crisis that Neptune is bringing up and is kind of coming to the end of its process with, one of which was the crisis of misunderstanding our earthly limitations or like bodily limitations. One of them was about the limitations or misunderstanding in relational matters and trying to change the way that we think about relationship, you know, as an entity, because I think we've inherited a lot of rules, I guess, or social norms about what relationship is and how to be in relationship and how we're supposed to interact with each other, a lot of which is actually pretty unskillful and passive aggressive in many cases.
Sure.
You know, not clear and not truthful as in from our own truth. It's often quite manipulative and a bit, you know, tiptoeing around the subject. So I think there was a lot of that I was expecting to see in March. And then there was the other part about this a crisis of misunderstanding about what we believe, as in what spiritual beliefs we hold or what practices we believe work for us or what we believe we should eat or what we like, all of our beliefs being kind of questioned or having some kind of crisis of misunderstanding. What I can see so far in terms of have I seen this, the crisis of misunderstanding in the homogenized world, let's say, that in the world of people who aren't actively doing shadow work or paying attention in any way, just, you know, just being reactive or moved by the energies, is not just in, I mean, I think there's always been a crisis of misunderstanding in popular media because it's designed for that, as in it's not really designed to speak the truth. It's designed to be manipulative and misleading. But in a couple of, one in my family, one in my friends, my close friends, like very strange crises of misunderstanding, like people suddenly being ghosted, weird letters arriving in the post, you know, email threads that seem to be going in one direction and then take an abrupt swerve. And you're like, whoa, did I misread that completely? Like, how did they take that from what I said? And so I've seen this crisis of misunderstanding in quite a few very specific examples where everyone in the aftermath has just been like left scratching their heads and like, I really flummoxed. Like, I don't really understand what that was all about. It doesn't make any logical sense. That person has shut down. They don't want to communicate. They've made it impossible for me to communicate. I don't think I'm ever going to get clarity on what the hell that just was. You know, in some cases, someone got blocked so that they were like, oh, I'm never going to be able to figure out what the deal was there. So I've actually seen, you know, a crisis of misunderstandings in all kinds of strange little things. And then they're coming to me being like, can you help me make sense of this? And I'm like, I mean, I think I'd just shrug and move on because, you know, they're not leaving the door open to make any sense out of this. So, oh, well, I guess.
Totally. It's interesting. I'm thinking about it. I'm like, I don't know that on like a personal relational level, I've heard too much about it. But when you said what you just said about the media immediately made me think of like all the stuff that's been coming out about like Nickelodeon. And there was like a documentary, I don't know if you heard, that came out about some very not good things that were happening behind the scenes at some of those shows and different things like that. So it made me think about when you said like crisis of what we believe, I think at least a lot of millennials, I think, are going like, oh my God, what we thought something was, it's not, or it wasn't, or, you know, sort of the, I feel like that proverbial veil has been lifted over the last couple of weeks. I think even about potentially how we may have seen and viewed things from our past. So.
Yeah. And I think, you know, there's a very obvious example in the British media, which may or may not have made it around the world, which is this whole situation with poor Kate. You know, it's like this, she put a picture out, it was doctored, everyone was like, oh, she's lying, she's obviously lying, she's going through a cancer diagnosis, like, leave the poor woman alone.
Yeah,
it's fairly obvious when someone in the public eye goes that dark for that long that they're dealing with something really important personally. So that, you know, was in British media, I was like, well, there's the crisis of misunderstanding and then the truth being revealed and everyone sort of being a bit sort of shamefaced about how toxic they were being about it, when actually someone's just going through a really hard time, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
And I think, you know, the gate of crisis, this gate 36 in the solar plexus, in when you look at the gene keys and you look at the highest expression of it, it's compassion. And so there is a potential, you know, if we're not just in the homogenized shadow version of it, but we're in the high expression of it, there's a potential for compassionate understanding about actually how difficult communication is, because it is hard to put into words that totality of our inner lived experience. And often we don't either have the skills, we've never learned how to consciously communicate, or we're too afraid to do it, or we've had terrible experiences of doing it, or we don't have the energy to do it, because it does take a lot of energy. And so sometimes all we can actually do is just do an awful job of communicating. In fact, that's often the case. And then the best possible outcome of that is self-compassion. Oh my God, I really messed that up. I did not do a good job of explaining or communicating how I'm feeling, or how hurt I am, or how confused I am. And I think I've made things worse. So sometimes all we've got is compassion for each other in our failed attempts at communication.
So what I love about the gene keys personally is I'm like, you see it right there. It's like the shadow is contained within the gift, and the city, and the city is contained within the shadow. So it's like, you almost can't have one without the other sometimes, or at least sometimes having to learn via the contrast.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think, you know, Mercury entering its pre-retrograde shadow has had a lot to do with it, Mercury being the planet of communication, and it's, you know, going through the gates of shock and growth and endings and creating order from chaos, which I'll talk about in extensively in a minute. So yeah, that is my observation of this, you know, what I'd sort of suggested might be happening in March. Those are weird examples with the emails and the letters and people getting blocked and other stuff. Like I had a women's circle with my friends for the full moon lunar eclipse, and we were pulling tarot cards, and one of them pulled a card, and then she was like, and I was like, what's going on, what's it saying? She was like, well, I hadn't actually told you about this because I thought I was fine about it, but actually the tarot is saying I'm not that fine about it. And then she told us this whole story, and it was yet another crisis of communicate, like miscommunication, someone over communicating but really aggressively, and yeah, all of that. So I've personally seen a lot of it. So I like to give myself a tick for March and say, yes, I have seen that. That does seem to be playing out in a way that's seems more prevalent than just statistical norms of this communication.
Totally. Yeah. I when you said the Princess Kate thing, I'm like, oh my God, yeah. There was two women who actually created like a whole Instagram account around it and grew like astronomically through it from like all just the gossip and the, like, it's a great story cliffhanger, right? But at the same time, you're like, oh, we're not being too compassionate in how we're in how we're showing up to this situation. Like, clearly something is wrong, and is this pestering and badgering going to make it any better? Probably not. So anyways, I love that. You get a check mark. Gold star. Good job.
Thanks. So let's say we can do the same sort of thing for April. In terms of, you know, you asked me before we hit record how I am and what I'm going through at the moment. And I feel like what I'm experiencing is, you know, the front waves of what's coming in through the eclipse season. We've just had the, you know, we're recording on what day is it, 27th, yeah. And we just had the full moon lunar eclipse. We're about to have a new moon solar eclipse on the 8th of April. And astrologers are getting kind of antsy about it. Like, oh my God, it's a big deal. And I think we do that a lot. You know, people who look at the stars and the planets get a bit like, it's the biggest thing to ever happen. I'm not
every
sure.
Every time.
Yeah, every time. Just to make ourselves feel important and significant, I guess. But that's not really what I'm doing. I just feel, for me personally, it's huge in terms of the way that it's affecting me physically, mentally, emotionally. And I'll explain why, like in terms of the geometry of it. But it's like, I feel like we're to now in the end of March and moving into the beginning of April in this kind of wake up call energy. This is what it feels like. It's like, it feels like we're being asked slash it's being demanded of us that there's some kind of wake up call to something that we possibly don't even know what it is yet. And so if you are listening and you've received some kind of wake up call or potential wake up call in the last couple of weeks, and you were maybe thinking, oh, I'll just sweep that back under the rug and hope I and pretend I didn't see it. I mean, maybe you'll be able to do that, but also maybe it's going to make itself a little bit more shouty, like an alarm clock. If you don't tend to it immediately, then it gets louder and louder. That's what I feel in, you know, trying to put into words. Oh, hello. Jess has just been surrounded by bubbles.
I just balloons. Got balloons that shot out of my screen. Okay.
Okay.
Well, I guess that was a confirmation, everyone.
Fine.
But maybe balloons. To have fun with it.
I like that. Let's take that. Let's take it mm-hmm. as, let's have fun with it. Because it feels to me in my body that I'm having to put everything down. Like I was saying at the beginning, I'm not just putting all my planning for the year down, I'm not doing any planning, but I'm also not doing anything that I would usually do, like not meditating, not walking, not swimming, not doing yoga, I'm not doing anything. I'm just stopping completely. Because I feel that that's what I'm not suggesting that that's what everyone else needs to, I'm suggesting that that's what I feel like I need to do really strongly. Like the spleen, the decisiveness of my spleen that is usually so black and white, so clear. It's like, and there's not even an emotional transit going through. It's not that I'm not emotionally defined. It's just everything's getting stopped. And I've been through this a number of times in my life. And I'm also getting basically intolerant to everything I eat. Like literally my lips are blistering, my hands coming out in a rash. Everything I eat is causing a reaction in me. So I'm like, I recognize this. It's like a massive spring clean in the body, like this huge shedding that seems to happen. So I get very tired, very lethargic, usually very sick, and all kinds of systems, like all my systems go out. That's what it feels like. And my digestive system's out, my immune system's out, all of my usual systems are not functioning. And so I just stop and I'm like, I'm being recalibrated, so let's just stop. I had this image come to mind about why I stopped so completely. And it's because it feels to me like if I was going to try and keep going with any of the things that I normally do, it would be like simultaneously trying to grow a tree and burn it for firewood. Like, I can't continue to try and cultivate something if it's trying to become something else, if it's going through a deep transformation. So I can't pour water on it while it's trying to burn. I'm just going to let it burn because that's what it's trying to do. So that's, for me, that's what's going on in my body. And then I don't know if it's seasonal, usual spring clean vibes, but I feel a lot of that big spring clean energy. Every cupboard, every drawer, the attic, digging around in corners, piles of stuff for the charity shop. And I've heard, again, that kind of feedback from a lot of friends being like, I can't stop cleaning. I can't stop throwing things out. I don't know what's going on. So it's like in my body, it's purging. In the house, it's purging. Maybe that's just the usual spring vibes. But it feels really strong. It feels really strong.
I love that you listen to it when you feel that feeling come through for you, because I think a lot of people don't follow what their nature is telling them. They kind of go with what their nurture tells them in that, I'm supposed to meditate and I'm not meditating, and therefore there's something wrong with me, versus potentially considering that there might be a bigger process that might be going on within you that maybe the mind doesn't completely understand, but the body knows exactly what it's doing. So I love that you give yourself that space to just pause on things.
I feel like it's part of my inquiry and my experiment into can my body be trusted? Because if I want to say I trust my body, then I have to trust my body. I actually have to act on it. I can't override it with my mind. And I've got to the point now where I find it almost impossible to override my body with my mind. Really hard. Like the other day, I was like, oh my God, this is ridiculous. Come on. And I put the yoga mat out and I sat on it and my body refused to move. You know, when you see those dogs, like people are trying to take the dog for a walk and the dog is just like a lump, just refusing to move. Like, I ain't doing it. So it's not like I'm not creating the opportunity for it if it wants to, but I create the opportunity. It's like, nah, I don't want to do that. And I don't know why, you know, I don't have the benefit of hindsight yet because I never know why until after the fact. And even then, that's just my mind creating meaning out of a set of circumstances, which may or may not be necessary for humans. I'm not sure yet if we need to make meaning or if we just do it out of habit.
Totally. I think one of the things I've been like contemplating with this week, because as you were talking about this like change and shock and growth and cleaning up certain areas, there's a certain area of my life that I keep thinking about. And every time I think about it, I hear like, just let it burn, like let it completely burn down to the ground. Because it's like you said, it makes me think of a forest fire. It's like forest fires are not great, but they also burn everything down so that regrowth can happen again. And I think sometimes if we try to salvage everything and keep certain things and make sure we don't necessarily need to actively burn the forest down. But sometimes I think we need to tune in and listen to when it's being burned down and we're trying to salvage it from what it actually wants to become.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for me, I've been really thinking a lot about divine will versus like my will. And I think I've been reading a lot about and contemplating the Gene Key 26 lately. I don't have it in my chart, but it's just, as I think a lot about like marketing and writing and how we market and put things out, it's just, I feel like we need a huge overhaul in like the marketing department, in that, I don't know, I won't go down that rabbit hole right now, but it does talk a lot about like divine will versus personal will. And I think it's, if like you said, you slow down and you tune in and you listen to the signals of your body, you don't have to do anything to figure out where life's trying to take you. You just have to trust it. And I think in that same way, it's so easy to be like, but I, like for me, I have a defined will center. I'm like, F it, but I could do it anyways. And I'm going to climb to the top of the mountain. And it's like, but my life is harder versus if I just trust. Like yesterday I got into bed after I like showered and I did the sauna to try to clear my head out. And I was like, I'm going to shower and then I'm going to lay in bed for 30 minutes because that's exactly what my body wants to do. And instead of being like, but it's work time, I went and did it. And then I was like, okay, now I'm ready to write, you know? So I think just, it can be so powerful, but it can be also be so counterintuitive. So it can just take practice, I think, sometimes to listen
mm-hmm.
and trust.
You totally could, you know, you were saying, I can do it. I can, like, yeah, that willpower center probably could. I got no motors, so I ain't got nothing. Like when it goes down, it goes down. There's nothing in me that can push through at all. So, yeah, I don't have much choice in the matter. As in, there's no energies in me trying to express themselves. I'm not an energy being in that way, not a motor being.
Yeah.
So maybe it is a little bit easier if in that respect. I mean, I don't have any choice in it. It's like it's taking me down. There's nothing in my body that's pushing or moving, or the energy is. So, mm-hmm. What am I gonna do?
My will center also is not my authority, so it typically doesn't make the right choices.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just
not
say
in
that.
The moment, anyway.
Yeah. Exactly. Anyways, carry on.
So it's a big month, April. The more I look into it, the more I feel slightly overawed by it, potentially. We'll see. Who knows how it'll pan out in real life. But on paper, it looks quite a lot, in quite a good way, I think. Like, it certainly feels like that to me. It feels very transformative. So the summary, like the exec summary for April, as far as I can tell, is closure and initiation. So letting go of the old, leaping into the new, trusting intuition and acting on it, because all endings are beginnings. So that trusting intuition and acting on it is the hardest piece, I think, because I think most people have some awareness of the inkling of the little tiny whisper in them. And because it can be really quiet, it's very easily overridden and very easily ignored. And because it doesn't usually shout until it does shout. And then when it shouts. But if you can, you know, speaking as from someone who has 57 as her personality sun, as in the gate of intuition as my main energy in life, everything in my life is built around that. Can I hear my intuition? Do I know what it's trying to ask of me? And am I courageous enough to follow it? That is the theme, I think, that we are being invited into in April.
Mm-hmm.
And for reasons that I will explain sort of with numbers and channels and activations and all of that. But in summary, if you're just going to listen to this much of this podcast and then not listen to the rest, that's the exec summary. Trust your intuition and act on it. All endings are beginnings. If you feel very strongly that it needs to go, you don't even need to make it go. It will go. If you just stop holding on to it and stop trying mm-hmm. to make it be there, it will go if it's meant to go.
Ugh, such a good reminder.
So
that's all I'm gonna say on that. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You're like, I know which intuition you're talking about. Yep.
Yeah. And I, and the that letting that go face. Part. Ugh. It's the letting go. It's the
I don't wanna.
I think that's the thing I struggle the most with is like, and that's why I write so much about it. It's like letting go of something is just for me, like I know the 25 likes to cling in its shadow, but it's learning to let go faster has been my, and trust that if it's taken out of my life, it's meant to.
Mm-hmm. Do you have an undefined spleen?
Yeah.
Mm.
And, and the freaking, the divine will center, I'm telling you, I'm like, but I can, I'm capable of it. But anyways.
Yes, that. So that face that Jess made that you didn't see, but I saw, and I know that face because intuition is like, this has to go. And you're like, huh, I'm afraid of the consequences. I don't want it to go. I don't like change. Don't make everything different. I'm scared. So I get it. Like, I totally get it. It's not easy, but this is the opportunity that we are being presented with, I believe, in the next few weeks. So,
amen.
All we would potentially have to do is just not cling too tightly, like not dig your fingernails in to the point where you're bleeding, is what I would say. Like, see if you can just be like flat palmed about it.
Yeah.
Hold it lightly and see if it stays or not.
I love it. Okay.
So Mercury retrograde, we should probably start with, because that's the main sort of one of the main things in April. It's retrograding from the 2nd to the 26th of April, so most of the month. Usual caveats apply for Mercury. Back up your tech. Leave extra time for important journeys and travel because they can get disrupted. And the retrograde is going to start in Gate 3, Line 1. So Gate 3 is in the sacral center. And it's the gate of ordering the chaos. Now, Pluto is still at this point in gate 60, which is the other end of that channel, the gate of mutation, the gate of limitation. And so they together are going to make the channel of mutation, the channel 60 from the root 3 in the sacral, a design of energy which initiates and fluctuates. So that channel was on a lot last year in the summer. We had it active for most of May, again in July and in August. There was a, because the nodes were transiting in 3, Pluto was still in 60. So this mutative pulse change energy has been around for a while, and we're getting another final sort of shot of it in the early part of Mercury's retrograde. So it basically forces change is what that energy does. Sometimes tiny internal changes, sometimes major life changes. At a biological level, that is the part of the sort of life creation process where you are not a clone of your parents, you're a mutation of your parents. So like that, when they call it the channel of mutation, it literally takes two genetic codes and splices them and mutates them and turns them into a new human that is not a direct clone of the original genetic codon. So it makes hundreds of mutations and makes a new human. So that's partly right why it's called the channel of mutation. But in terms of its impact in the body graph, it's the fuel, it's the pulse. If you think about the whole of the individual circuitry, which is, if you're looking at a body graph, the middle line, like the central column in the middle, and then the central columns on the outside going around the spleen and the solar plexus. So that whole individual circuit is fueled by this channel. This is the pulse. That's why they call it an energy which initiates and fluctuates, because it just goes boom, change, mutate, normal, 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 nope, different. And so it can be, oh, everything's different now.
Yeah,
I'm different now. I don't feel the same about that anymore. Oh,
totally. It's so funny you say what you just said about you're not a clone of your parents, you're a mutation. I keep getting that in my head, like keep getting this weird download that's like, you aren't, you literally essentially that, a little bit of different words, but that's very interesting. And also I like what you just shared about kind of the suddenness that can come from that 63 channel. of like, okay, it's the same, it's the same, it's the same. Boom, there's a change. Because I feel like sometimes that happens, and then I get in my head, I'm like, where'd that just come from? But it's just how it is.
Yeah, it may be there was a pulse. I mean, because the moon goes through, you know, every, you know, you could even just get an 11-hour pulse. You could even just walk down the street and walk through someone's aura that's got that channel, you know?
Yeah.
We can never really know where it came from. Sometimes we get these longer transits of the planets where we get to sort of see it in action in slow-mo, if you like, but it's happening all the time around us anyway.
Yes.
So that's the 29th of March to the 5th of April that channel's going to be on. And so even maybe it's bringing, you know, some of the changes that were initiated in your life last summer might be back in your personal news that week, in the first week of April. Mercury's then going to continue its retrograde into gate 52, which is the gate. It's also in the former channels, you know, between the root and the sacral, if you're looking at a body graph. And this is the gate of growth or increase, which is actually closure energy, even though it's called the gate of growth or the gate of increase. It's closure energy, and it's about completing a cycle of development. So that format channel, its function, you know, if we're talking about mutation as one function, the other format energy on the left, the channel of maturation, that basically governs how long we stay in a cycle. Like a cycle of beginning, I'm just starting the cycle. Oh, I'm in the middle. Oh, something's happening. Oh, now it's coming to an end. So cycles are the nature of life. The whole experiential way of a human is governed by cycles, starting something, going through something, ending something. Every book ever written is based on basically that. There's, you know, the story arc, the journey, and they can be tiny cycles. Like every breath is a cycle, the beginning of a breath, the middle of the breath, the end of the breath, the beginning of the out breath. Like if we're in this, and then we have the big cycles. Like a year is a day is a cycle, a year is a cycle. Like all of life is governed by cycles, and all of our experiences are governed by cycles, and all of our relationships are governed by cycles. We enter the relationship. There was a point where we did not know this person. Then there is a point where we're in a relationship with this person. Then there is a point where we are no longer in relationship with this person. So if you think about this channel and this gate, everything is always in cycles constantly. And 42 is the aspect of it where a cycle comes to an end in order for a new cycle to begin. And so it works nicely with that mutative pulse because it's like, yeah, you've changed, but grow. You know, you still have life. Continue, grow up, grow out, crack out of your previous limitations, let yourself expand, get a bit closer to reaching your full potential. And by you, I mean we, consciousness in form. That's all that's happening. If anyone's like, what's happening? What is human life? That it's the growth of the evolution of consciousness in form.
Totally. This is
So.
like random, but what you're saying is making me think about how when I started like going into kind of all this like personal growth and self-inquiry and all that like 10, 12 years ago. How old am I? Oh my God, it was more than that, like 15 years ago. I remember like a lot of my friends not understanding and just being like, we're gonna, go into corporate, we're gonna do this and this. And it's very interesting to be at this point in life where now some of my friends who didn't understand but were super supportive 15 years ago are now coming to me and being like, I'm not happy, or I'm not, whatever it may be, where I was back then. Different age, different stage of life. But it does remind me that, like, whether I think it is or not, consciousness is evolving through everyone, even people who maybe I don't think it's evolving through from like a surface level, right? Like, oh, maybe they don't get me or they don't understand. It's like, no, they actually do. It's just, are they acknowledging or not? And what does that acknowledgement finally look like for them in the end? So everything is always changing.
I really agree with what you're saying about that. Like, even the people who look the most asleep, we're all asleep. It's just, you know, it's like consciousness in their form is finding out what it's like to be asleep. It's finding out what it's like to be unconscious of your actions. It's finding out what it's like to be enslaved to the corporate machine. It's finding out. It's still evolving because it's learning through that experience.
Oh, 100%.
Maybe it needs 7 billion humans to be corporately enslaved to find out, really to find out what that does.
Yeah, totally.
And if it's a good idea or not.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Exactly.
Who am I to judge?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what's Mercury's sort of, it goes into gate 3, then it goes back into gate 42. And then it goes back into gates, you know, currently as we're recording, it's going forward through those gates. This is its retrograde going back through them. So we're already in this energy. Then from the 14th of April, Mercury is going to back into gate 51, the gate of shock. We talked about this last month in quite a lot of detail. So if you didn't catch the March transits, you can go back and listen to that. This is the ability to respond to disorder through adaptation and recognition. It basically invites us to see what happens. It is a bit, the shocking in the I Ching, it's called the arousing. And if you think about arousing, that's like you rouse yourself out of sleep, you open your eyes and you wake up. You finally see what you were perhaps dreaming about. And then it's like, it can be pretty unsubtle. This sort of wake-up calls come in subtle bird song or like meh, 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 wake up. So that is where Mercury is going to back into, and then it'll go direct through all of it at the when it's finished its retrograde and back out of them. So we're currently in Mercury direct through them. While all that's going on, the sun will be in those gates as well. Let me just check when the sun's going in. So the sun's going into 51 on the 4th of April, 42 on the 10th of April, and 3 on the 16th of April. So the sun will be going direct through all those gates at the same time that Mercury is sort of dancing in and out of them, going backwards and then forwards in them. So sun and Mercury coming together through that process.
We're going to have a nice little doozy, if you will.
I love this doozy word. I haven't quite worked out. I kind of know what it means because it's such an American word, but someone used it, an American used it recently to me, and I was like, what's a doozy? And how do you explain what a doozy is?
How do I explain a doozy? Yeah. Like, it's a lot. It's like, it's going to be a doozy. It's going to be like a lot, you know?
We don't really have a
word. Kind of walk out of it a little dizzied.
Okay, I get it. Yeah. So this leads us on to the other major event in the first part of April, and that's the total solar eclipse on the 8th of April, which is going to make, you know, landfall and totality across the US.
Great.
I am actually absurdly excited about this eclipse, yeah, because it's the opposite of the eclipse that I was born on.
Mm-hmm.
So I was born within 40 minutes of the totality on the solar eclipse, on the new moon, on this axis, on the 57-51 axis. So if you look at the Wheel of the Year, which is a document you can get for free on my website, on the podcast page, which will be linked in the show notes probably, 51 is sort of bottom left-hand side, 57 is sort of top right-hand side, like northeast-southwest axis. And that's the axis that the nodes are going to be on, the sun and the moon. It's all going to line up along this axis of the 57-51. So I was born in the October version in whatever year it was, 77, when the solar eclipse was total on the 57-51 axis. This is the other side, so it's the 51-57, as in the sun and the north node and the new moon are going to be in gate 51, and the earth and the south node are going to be in gate 57. So there's a lineup between the sun, the earth, and the moon, and the nodes of the moon, which, if you're not an astrologer and you don't know what the nodes are the points in space where the Earth's orbit around the sun and the moon's orbit around the Earth coincide. So if you were to map those out as two circles, there would be a joining point, and they're the nodes. And we are constantly moving away from the south node and towards the north node. So it basically provides, even though there's no celestial body there, these are consistent sort of imaginary but sort of consistent spatial points in space that point out to where we've come from and where we're going to in the galaxy. If you think about it like that, if you then expand that thought out to the fact that the moon's going around us, we're going around the sun, all the other planets are going around the sun is going around the center of the spiral galaxy, and we're careering through space, the nodes are showing us where we've been, what the bit of space we came through and the bit of space we're going to go into,
yeah,
which is why they provide a trajectory.
Cool.
It's cool, huh? I think it's really cool.
Yeah.
So I was born on this axis. So when you look at my human design chart, my personality sun and earth, my both of my sets of nodes on both sides and my design sun, design moon are all, sorry, my personality moon are all in the same gate, basically, in 57 and 51. So I think the reason I was saying this is feels big to me is because it's on my axis. And so I'm going to feel like, wow, I haven't felt this lit up since the moment I was born.
Yeah, rebirthed.
Which is why I've cleared every single thing out of my calendar, because it does feel like I'm about to be reborn. And into what? I don't know. I mean, might just carry on as normal and I'll be like, oh, well, that was a bit of a damp squib, but never mind.
At least you're prepared.
I'm prepared it just in case, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just in case. So while it's also a little bit about me, it's also a lot about Ra, you know, Ra Uruhu. The eclipse is basically taking place on the anniversary of Ra's birthday, because Ra was also a 51, 57, fifth line, 5-1 profile. It's the day before his birthday, actually. He was born on the 9th, but still, it's on his axis. It's a really interesting time. And there's also a connection with you as well, Jess, because like you've got the 51, 25 channel. That's going to be active a lot this month. Ra had that channel. It feels like, I don't know, it feels like all the pieces just kind of in place for us to be having this conversation about this at this time. Ra, for people who don't know who I'm talking about, the guy who channeled the human design system, the first student and messenger of this system called Ra Uruhu, he was on this axis, this 51, 57 axis for his birthday. So let's talk about what it means. You know, I've obviously journaled on these gates and lines a lot because they're a big part of my chart. So I've explored them for what they mean for me. So the Earth and the South Node in gate 57, I, in my experience and my observation of what does 57 in the fifth line do as an activation, or in the first line even, it asks us to stop being so mindlessly busy and reactive to stop charging around after all the crap we've always been charging around after, and stand still for long enough to see if a new direction emerges, and to see if you can hear your own intuition. Because unless you stop and stand still and quiet down a bit, you can't hear this gate, the 57. It's so subtle and so quiet if it's been consistently overridden. It gets louder, you know, the more you trust it, the more listen to it, the louder it gets. But it can easily be overlooked. So, and the Earth and the South Node in those activations very strongly earthing us into the intuition, which I don't believe my intuition is mine. I believe my intuition is of the earth. I believe that the earth communicates to me in the form of intuition. Partly because I'm a splenic projector. Like I, you know, if you think about where is this coming from? And when I talk to my intuition, when I write to it and it writes back to me, it's this energy that's way bigger than me. It's just a tiny little, it's like the earth making a phone call into my body. That's what it feels like.
Yeah. I love that visual. And I love what you said, because as you were talking in the beginning, I was thinking about how, like, back in the day, I used to be like, I'm not really affected by the planets. Like, that was kind of how I thought a long time ago. And now I'm like, but we're a part of this solar system. If animals change their behavior based upon the seasons and what the planet's doing and the weather and the stars and everything else, we're animals here too. It's just we forgot that we were a part of nature. So when you're saying that your intuition is something, it's like the earth speaking through you, I'm like, that makes sense to me, because your intuition's meant to connect you into the whole. I think a lot of people, I know when I first started working with my intuition 10 years ago, I thought like, I'm going to never have a problem ever again. And it's like, that's literally the exact opposite of it. It's going to help me through those challenges, but you know, it's not going to stop everything from happening. It's meant to connect me to the flow of life so that I can understand that maybe this thing is falling out of my life, but maybe it's falling out of my life for a reason and not to worry.
Yes. That's 57 in the sixth line. In the sixth line, which is my design north node, 57 in the sixth line says, you might have an intuition about what's about to happen, but your intuition can't always fix it. Your intuition sometimes is just like, this is going to happen and I can't do anything about it. Oh, well.
Yeah.
I guess I'll just watch it play out. I knew it was going to happen and here it is happening. And just because I knew it was going to happen didn't mean to say I had any choice about whether or not it happens.
Sure. Exactly. Yeah. And my intuition can support me through the process.
Forewarned is forearmed, as they say.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's the 57. If you also look at it in the body graph, it's the little survival anchor point for the integration field channels, one of which is the 3420, which is the archetype of busyness. Most people with the 3420 cannot stop moving because they're so busy, this pure manifesting generated energy. And without the 57, it is ungrounded from society, from survival. It's like just just going out there into the world, busy, doing. And the 57 is the anchor point for that into the spleen to say, intuitively, is this the right movement? Yes, your sacral might be responding, but can you hear your intuition, which is connected into the earth at the same time as well? Can you hear it? So that's how I feel that the 57 works, like in terms of its role in that set of field channels. And then, so in terms of how do you relate to this, some of you might feel that you need to stop completely, like me, which is also the detriment of the 57 in the fifth line, which is a misguided missile, which basically I can't sense the future if I'm in motion. I become a misguided missile if I'm too active. So I actually have to stop and let my guidance kick in. But in the exaltation, in that line, it's kind of okay. You can just assess your progress while you're on the move. But either way, most people aren't moving slowly enough to hear or pay decent attention to their intuition. So my feeling is that that's what we're being asked to do for the next 2 weeks, is while everything's coming into alignment up until the 8th of April and beyond, is just at least listen to what's being asked. Just try and hear the intuition that the earth and the south node and where we've come from are trying to communicate with us. I love Richard Rudd's talk in 57. The two quotes that I've pulled out of the 57 in the Gene Keys and used more than anything in the last 8 years of contemplation are the following. On the shadow of unease, no form of thinking can take away the fear, because the fear is there precisely because of the thinking.
I like that.
So the shadow of unease for the 57 is like, it's sensing the future. And it's like, oh my God, I don't know. I'm uneasy. I don't know what's going to happen. And then the mind kicks in to try and decide what's going to happen, even though it can't. So to transcend that, we have the gift of intuition from the 57th Gene Key. And this is, every time you trust your intuition or make a decision based on it, you raise the frequency of your whole aura. So I took that as a life mantra back in 2016 when I first started contemplating my own personality, Sun Gene Key. Every time I trust my intuition, even though I'm terrified of doing it and I'm really concerned about the consequences, every time I do it, I'm going to raise the frequency of my aura. Okay, that is a good enough reason for me to do whatever my intuition is telling me to do. And so far, so good.
Amen. I will say, I'm just taking this all in, but it's just making me think. I wrote a Substack last week about social media, which is kind of a random thing for me to write about on Substack, but I was talking about how like Mark Groves is getting rid of his Instagram and his Facebook, and he's like, I just know I have to, but it scares the hell out of me. And I feel like that's kind of, for me, the interplay between that 57 and the 51, which is like, my intuition's telling me to do something, and it scares the hell out of me, because that 51 the way I see it is it's a leap, and it's a leap of faith into the higher self, right? And oftentimes we don't know where we're going, but if we trust the feeling, it's going to take us where we need to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got rid of my Facebook years ago, just deleted the whole thing. And I had, you know, I'd traveled for years. I've so many friends on there, so many people I was only connected to on Facebook. I was like, I'm going to lose these people completely out of my life. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Honestly, it doesn't matter. Like, it hasn't mattered to me at all. I haven't even thought about Facebook for like more than 10 seconds since I deleted it, which was so liberating.
Totally.
So, yeah. Yeah, it's always feels like it's going to be way worse than it actually is when we deal with it.
Totally.
Yeah, so exactly what you're saying, you know, on the opposite side of 57, we have the 51. That's where the sun, the north node, and the new moon are going to be on the 8th of April in this solar eclipse. And 51 is this thing of like, yes, it will have an impact. We're going to have to transform something about our lives when the 51 comes along. It might be about transforming our normal patterns away from what we're used to into an adaptation for where we're at now. That's mm-hmm. really what it's like. We've got all these habits and, you know, the brain loves a shortcut. The brain loves a habit. It does nothing it likes more than just to have just got it down. You know, this is what I do. I get up in the morning, I go to this cupboard, I open it, I get this mug out, I put this, like the habits, it loves these patterns. And the 51 shocks you out of the patterns. And then you have to adapt while you're in this new way of being. So 51 is also reminding us that we've done this all, that we can adapt. We are very adaptive beings. You know, there's all kinds of stuff that's happened to us in our lives that have shaken everything up, and we've had to adapt, and it's become the new normal relatively quickly. Mm-hmm. So it seems like there's this patterning in our brain that's like terrified of it, but we all know when we actually make the change that we've been afraid of making, but it's begging us to make it, when we actually make it, it's fine. Like it's usually better. So it's not terrifying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's usually a lot easier than it seems like it's going to be. It's just the leap that's often the hardest, because you need momentum to leap from one place to another, right? Which takes a little bit of energy.
We're getting it. Like there's a whole channel coming on. This channel mm-hmm. 51, 20, 25 is coming on. We're going to get the energy to do that. So the key point right now, as you know, as this is going out to air at the beginning of April, end of March, is you first got to listen to the intuition. So at least you have some idea what it is that's being transformed. That's the thing. The key right now is to do the listening.
Yep. I like that.
You will find the courage.
I forget that the 51 and the 57 come together, because I have just the 51 highlighted in my chart or activated in my chart. So I often forget, like, listen to your intuition first. It will tell you where to go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And whenever we make that internal leap, because usually it's an internal leap first before the life leap, before the actual conversation or the actual action, the internal leap is to go from fear to courage. That's the leap that, all right, fine, I'm willing. I'll do it. And 9 times out of 10, in my observation, me becoming willing to do the thing, to say the thing, to have the conversation, to quit the thing, to make the change, my willingness makes it unnecessary. The whole situation usually goes away when I find the inner leap, the inner courage to leap from, you know, blame into forgiveness, or from fear into love, or what, or from I don't want to, I want to play the victim, to, oh my God, I'm going to take full responsibility for this. Mm-hmm. The inner leap is what matters.
Yeah.
So the fear of your external consequences might not even show up.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the time it doesn't. You've got to be willing to accept that it might, but it's the willingness that does the thing.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. 100%.
So let's quote from the Gene Keys, from Richard Rudd on the 51. It is not possible for a human being to awaken without fully first stepping into their creative independence. Creative independence. So this is, again, this is the quote I've been contemplating for 8 years. This is the thing I've been trying to live for 8 years. It is not easy. This, I find this very hard, this creative independence thing. The conditioning is so strong to not be independent, to be, especially I've got two collective channels, so not to be like too out there, too individual. But this, to step fully into my own creative independence, that means, for me anyway, things like what we were discussing at the beginning, quitting all the practices that are supposed to be good for me. Mm-hmm. That's creative independence. That's not listening to the should. I should probably do a yoga practice. I probably should meditate. But actually, is my body doing it? Is it willing? Even if I give it the circumstances, will it do it? No, it won't. That's creative independence, as far as I'm concerned in my life. Mm-hmm. It's the willingness to not do all the things I've been told I should do, to question why. Why should I? Says who? According to whose wisdom? I mean, it's not saying there's no wisdom in yoga and meditation or whatever. Of course there is. But at certain points, this is the willingness to be creatively independent, really yeah. independent, to do the thing that seems like the most ridiculous thing.
Yeah. And who knows if maybe your body's giving you that, like, hey, slow down. Be, don't do anything, fuel your energetic resources, because next week I'm going to send you on a little mission. You know, we don't know why we're being asked to do that.
Yeah. And if I'd pushed it and like overdone it and whatever, I wouldn't have the resources for the thing that is probably coming that I don't know about yet.
Mm-hmm.
So this awakening, because that's the gift of awakening in the 51, what are we awakening to? In this day and age, we're awakening inwardly to ourselves and our potential to trust in our own life and let ourselves live our own life without diluting that or modifying that or whatever based on other stuff that other people said once, mm-hmm. probably just once, and we took it on as gospel.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what this eclipse is doing on this axis. It's giving us this reflection point of what are we still grasping after or doing or chasing blindly out of habit or conditioning. Is there an inner voice in us saying stop, do this, or start? It might be start something. Mm-hmm. Are we being asked to change direction? Are we being asked to step into a new way of being? Does it look like madness to everyone around us? You and I both know that that's probably a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
When everyone's like, what are you doing? That is the essence of 51, which is, you know, fueling this centering circuit, part of the individual circuitry.
Totally.
And where does it leap into? It leaps into 25, the gate of universal love. So ultimately, it brings us closer to this capacity for love and this understanding that everything already is love.
Amen.
And that it lives inside of us. So where else would we go to find love apart from into the truth of our own being?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in its infinite benevolence, the cosmos isn't just leaving us, like we said, with this hanging 51. It's bringing in the gate 25. We've got this channel, the channel of initiation, which is a design of needing to be first, all about individual empowerment. That's going to be activated. Venus is going to be in 25 from the 4th to the 7th of April. And then Neptune's going to move into 25 for the long haul from gate 36 on the 10th of May. So even though that channel isn't on the actual eclipse itself, and maybe that's for the best, either side of the eclipse, the channel is on from the 4th to the 7th. Then we have the eclipse on the 8th. And then Neptune comes in on the 10th and holds on to it. So Venus then is going to move into gate 51 as well. She's going to go from 25 into 51 from the 17th to the 21st of April. Mercury's in 51 in its retrograde from the 14th of April to the 6th of May. Chiron is still in 51. Chiron's been in 51 for over a year, maybe even two. Chiron, the wounded healer. Chiron's staying in 51 for the rest of 2024. What would Chiron, the north node, the sun, the Mercury, like Venus, everyone in the 51. It's bringing us this potential to heal our direction, to heal the future direction of humanity, as far as I can see. If you look at this tribal circuit and you look at how it's the will center is the hub of the tribal circuit, and every channel coming into the will center is tribal, apart from the 5125. And then you think about what the tribal material world hub does. It says, get resources, earn money, provide for everyone, make sure everyone has enough to eat, make sure the bargain is fair. Like, it's all financial and material.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the leap out of that? It leaps into the G, into the heart, into love, that says, I mean, sure, once your material needs are met, what else is there to do but to fall into love? And, or leap into love, as the case it may be, because the 51's pretty leapy rather than fally energy. And for me, that speaks to the human condition of lack mentality, greed, and hoarding that we're mostly trained in a society that allows there to be billionaires that hold most of the wealth, and, you know, landowners that own vast swathes of the land, and all of that greed and grabbiness around material resources. The potential for this is to say, I've got enough, actually. I don't need to grab and grasp and keep reaching for and keep hoarding and keep stockpiling. I actually feel like I've got enough, and I'm going to trust enough in what I've got to find a new way of being. This, when you think about the whole planet on this trajectory of needing to be first, and leaping into the void and in a new direction. I have this image that came up of like all of us as little tiny green frogs sitting on a massive lily pad. And then at the same time, we all go boink and jump off in different directions. Like, yeah, here we all were in the tribe together doing our thing and, you know, abiding by all the tribal laws. And then all of a sudden we go boink and just jump into our own, go and swim off on our own direction.
I love that.
I mean, it's just a lot. I don't think, you know, I've been doing these transits podcasts for like nearly 2 years now, nearly 3 years. And I don't think I've seen such a stacking of that many planets and that many things and an eclipse and a new moon all at once. And Pluto moving into 41.1 at the same time, basically. It's like, I haven't seen something this potentially like, oh, wow, that's a lot. Feels like
in such a, I mean, and the 51's such a powerful energy of change. It's like you're sleeping, boom, you're awake, you know, like, so, which again, I'm like, it just feels like there's a lot of potential for personally within ourselves to have that happen, but also collectively within society and the world. I mean, I feel like we're already seeing it with a lot of what's going on in the news cycle and things like that. So it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. It feels really interesting to me, this whole lineup in this. And also, I don't think it's just a coincidence that's you and me at this time having this conversation, because I'm a cross of the clarion, right? I'm the wake-up call. That's literally what my cross is. And you're the cross of the vessel of love, like the soothing balm for the shock.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's a good partnership. Yeah, for
I
this, particularly for this.
Mm-hmm.
So final notes on that solar eclipse, if you are on the, it's the longest land-based transit of a solar eclipse in a decade. So if you are in the central US belt, you know, from Mexico, it goes across Texas, Pennsylvania, Northeast Canada, on the 8th of April around lunchtime, have fun in the eerie darkness of a total solar eclipse.
Mm-hmm. My sister, where she lives up in New York, they're going to get it. So I've been contemplating going up there, but we'll see. Mm-hmm.
I mean, and then on top of all that, what else is going on? We've got a Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, like an exact conjunction, also on the, the conjunction is not till later in April, but on the 8th of April, on that day, Jupiter leaves gate 2 and moves into gate 23, which is where Uranus is currently. They go exact 20th of April in line four in gate 23. And that's the gate of assimilation. So that's up in the throat. It reaches towards the ajna, and it's the place in the body graph, in the human design body graph, where the individual mind is able to express its unique perspectives. It's an, you know, in its high keynote in the Ravi Ching, it's called amorality, the awareness and understanding which leads to the acceptance of diversity. So we have the potential as human beings to have a significant breakthrough in our consciousness about how important diversity is. I think there's a lot of us that have figured out that we do not like homogenization of farm crops, or homogenization of landscapes, or homogenization of people, homogenization of children in schools, all kinds of homogenization are not that supportive for the flourishing of life. And in fact, diversity is what supports the flourishing of life. So Uranus has been at work in this gate since May last year. Jupiter's coming in to bring it even more in. You know, Uranus is the outlier. It's unique, unusual. We're seeing that, you know, all the individual voices saying, I'm part of the diversity of life and I deserve to have a voice as well. And Jupiter brings that, grounds that much more into the norms. It's not just the outliers. It's actually, you know, all of these people, these incredibly brave people who speak up against all of the norms, you know, all the gender binary stuff, all of that, saying there is more of a spectrum of experience than is being acknowledged here. And their hard work and determination to keep speaking their unique truth makes it possible for the rest of us to actually say, do you know what? I don't fit into that box either. I don't fit into that pigeonhole. I don't like the way that you're assuming what you think you know about me just based on some random bit of appearance or whatever. So from a human perspective, we're getting more support around our need to break free from this homogenizing conditioning that says we should strive to be the same as each other and seek sameness. And we're actually getting more energy saying, be wildly different. Please do.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I feel that. I feel like the 57 or 51 to Richard Rudd talks a lot about that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it, you know, it's not easy because the collective mind and the tribal mind do push back against the individual voice. But if you're one of the gates, if you're a gate 23, if you're one of these voices about who's speaking up about the need for diversity, please keep going. It will eventually work. Like eventually the tribe and the collective do get on board because they see the wisdom in this, in diversity eventually. So that Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, I think, is bringing a lot more highlight to that in April. And then we've also got Saturn and Mars coming into exact conjunction. You know, can we handle one more major celestial coupling? Okay, fine. It's Saturn and Mars. They're coming together in gate 63. So this is up in the head center, the gate of doubt. Saturn's transit in 63 is from the 13th of March to the 4th of May. Mars is going to pop in for a cuppa from the 7th to the 13th of April. So again, it's happening over the period of the eclipse. The exact conjunction is going to be on the 10th of April. Saturn is discipline, boundaries, judgment, borders, like routine, that kind of energy. Mars, quite feisty, quite immature, can be a bit aggressive, but also action potential. So I think of these two as like a master and a student. You know what I mean? Like the bold adventurer coming to the wise guide. I was thinking about where I've seen this played out in literature, and The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho is probably the most obvious example of it, where you've got Santiago, this kind of young, energized kid coming to this alchemist and getting wisdom and guidance. So I feel those, like Saturn and Mars coming together. They're coming together in gate 63, which is in Pisces. So it doesn't feel like a natural sort of pairing up. 63 is called almost complete. In some versions of the I Ching, in human design, we call it doubt. We talked about this a bit on the last podcast. So the keynote for gate 63 in the Ravi Ching is along the theme of everything we've been talking about. In the spiral of life, all endings are beginnings. So the 63 knows this. It's it's the crux of 63 is the nature of paradox and the nature that everything that ends is the beginning of something else. And it also says everything, every opposite thing is true equally, you know, like this, all endings are beginnings. Well, which is it? Is it an ending or is it a beginning? Well, it's both. And 63, this doubting, I think the doubt, you know, we would think about doubt as waiting to find one of those answers to be true. And I think the resolution of doubt is actually accepting the truth of paradox and the truth of the binary and the opposites, that it's equally true because they have to be true because they can't exist without each other.
Mm-hmm. Just made me think of that song, Closing Time. Every new beginning comes from some other beginnings. And you know, it's 90s baby song. I know.
Who's the artist?
Oh my God. I'm not sure. I'll look it up.
Anyway, I'll vibe out to that afterwards. But yeah, that.
Yeah.
So that, and if you think about Saturn and Mars, Pam Gregory was talking about this, my grandmother astrology idol Pam Gregory was saying about every time she sees strong Saturn and Mars in a chart, those people often end up in the military because there's that, you know, youthful energy that needs some discipline and structure. But it's in her words, Pisces, you know, in the traditional, and in this case 63. So it's like whatever we can do to bring that, all that energy and that structure and that boundary to something that is quite paradoxical and potentially quite a sore point, the endings and the beginnings, just feels like whenever I think about paradox and I think about equal opposites being true, it leaves me with this, like, the only way I can really describe it is like I've got a giant question mark inside my body. You know, like just this frequency of a question without the need for an answer. When I feel into that energy, I feel it like I can feel my existence as a question. I can feel that my existence is also the answer to that question simultaneously. Like it's neither the question nor the answer, it's both. But the question mark has that frequency of, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of do know at the same time as I don't know.
The 57's like, I know.
Yeah. Oh, that 57, she always knows.
I love that. Also, for everybody out there who is yelling at the podcast screen, it is Semisonic that sings that song, Closing Time. So just a heads up.
I'll look it up.
We'll close that loop.
So that, well, actually, I'm going to close the loop. That's, you know, April's a big month. You might need to get some support. You might need a cheer squad if you are listening to your intuition and it feels like it's going to take you down a slightly dicey road, a little that's going to need some deep breaths and some grounding moments. But if you feel stable enough, like getting into this Saturn-y, Mars-y, question-y, answer-y, paradoxical, I don't know, energy, I find that very liberating because I don't know yet, haven't made meaning, I haven't made understanding yet. There's a poem called The Loom of Time that plays on repeat, the first lines of it play on repeat in my head in these moments where I can see my mind wanting to know what's going to happen. Is it going to be okay? Is there going to be a happy ending? What is my story? What is this narrative that I'm living? And The Loom of Time says, man's life is laid in the loom of time to a pattern he doesn't see, while the shuttles fly and the weavers work and blah, blah, blah. And it's talking about how you can only see at the end. So we're in an ending, but
I've been talking about this all week. I'm like, there's certain things that went haywire the last couple of months. And I was like so butthurt about it at first. And now I'm like, I can only see now why that happened. It's like that Steve Jobs, you can only connect the dots looking backwards. You can't necessarily connect them looking forwards. So
too many unknown variables in the future to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's where we're at, people. It could be a very significant month. like I said, it might just be like a drop in the ocean and everything smooth sails and carries on as normal. Who knows? We will
Who
discuss in
knows?
May.
But as we said, you can't know looking forward. You can only know looking back. So we're going to reflect next month on what we just discussed for this month.
Amazing. We are indeed. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Jess.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Jenny. Thank you, everybody out there who reached out about the last podcast, loving it and sharing all of that love. It was so nice to receive, and we are super excited to be able to be here with you, talking about the planets, mostly Jenny and me just adding a little commentary in there as we go. But yeah, it's perfect. So thank you for being here, and we'll see you in May. Good luck, everybody out there in the 51, 50, 57 axis. Okay. Thanks, everybody. Make it a great day.
Hey, hey. Thanks so much for being here and listening to this episode of the Waking Up with Jess podcast. If you liked today's episode, I'm going to ask you to do one of three things. Number one, leave a rating. Number two, leave a review. And number three, if you think it could help a friend out in need, go ahead and send it to them. I greatly appreciate your support. When you rate the podcast or leave a review, it helps other awesome and amazing listeners such as yourself find the podcast. And I love people, and I love friends, and I love people's friends. So being able to spread the love through your network is another really great way to support people and to support the show. All right, y'all, make it a great day, and I will see you back here on the next episode of the Waking Up with Jess podcast.